Well, good morning. Welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us this morning on this fifth Sunday in Lent and the feast day of St. Patrick. If you're here for the very first time, we're especially pleased that you've joined us. And our desire is to offer a hand of friendship to you. But if we don't get there soon enough, you come introduce yourselves to us because we want you to feel at home here and we want you to find a home here. If you look in your bulletin, you'll see some bulletin inserts. Lots of information about upcoming services and about ways that you can be involved in the ministry of this church, what God is doing in and through West End. I'm going to lift up just a few things. Our today service of prayer and healing is this afternoon at 5 p.m. in the gym. It'll gather around the labyrinth. If you haven't been to one of these services, it is an ideal way during Lent to continue that inward look, that examination of the heart that Lent is supposed to be about. If you haven't tried a Tuesday service, let me encourage you to do so. That's 5 this afternoon in the gym. Also, from our preschool, our plant sale forms are out, and they're due today. Now, many of you may have gotten one. You're going to turn it in today. If you haven't, there are some in Reed Hall, and there are some downstairs. You can pick one up, fill it out, and turn it in. Also, the preschool needs cooks for the gourmet market. You can talk to some of them about that, but I know there are lots of good cooks out there who could help. This coming Wednesday, March 20th, from 5:30 to 7 p.m., we will have A Journey with Jesus, which is a family Lenten experience. It's self-guided, it's interactive, multisensory, and it's an opportunity to reflect on the last week of the life of Jesus. So you're welcome to come to the Wednesday evening meal, and then anytime from 5:30 to 7, you as an individual or you in your family can walk through this journey with Jesus. I think that, too, will deepen your Lenten experience. This coming Friday, we will be presenting in the Fourth Floor Theater at 7 p.m., Remembering the Brokenhearted, Performing Ancient Israel Stories of Violence Against Women. This is a program/worship service that has been developed by our Turner scholar, Nancy Hawthorne, as part of her work in religion, culture and the arts at Vanderbilt Divinity School. So let me invite you at 7 on Friday to come and experience these stories in a variety of ways, including stories and poems and songs. You can read more about that in the insert as well. Now for Holy Week services. Next Sunday, 8:45 and 11, worship, of course, on Palm Sunday. Maundy Thursday, March 28th, 7 p.m. worship. Good Friday, March 29th, we'll have a noon service, and then the church will be closed after noon that day. Then on Easter Sunday, we'll have our regular 8:45 and 11 o'clock services. And I know you probably don't usually come to early service, but both services are pretty packed, the second more than the first. If you have the opportunity to come to the 8:45 service, it would probably be helpful for you. The services are identical, and it would allow more people to get seats. Also, we as congregation members can park in the Caterpillar garage. We have permission to do that every Sunday. But on Easter Sunday, the entrance is off of West End. You'll find a map on your bulletin insert. If you can park in the Caterpillar garage, it leaves the closer spaces for guests. Now, if you need to park closer, that's fine. But I know for me and folks like me who can walk just fine across the street and through the parking lot, it's helpful if we park over there. Jesus calls us to look out for the least of these. For those we often don't see, for those who are pushed to the side. Let us open our minds and hearts to hear what Christ says to us today about just those brothers and sisters of ours.
greetings to our sisters and brothers in faith.
We come to celebrate God's presence.
And God's love expressed through Jesus Christ.
We come remembering our need for God as we need our next breath.
We come to remember the life we are called to live.
We come as 100 people feasting on the love of God for us and all of creation.
We come seeking strength to carry on our journey.
Let us rejoice in God's gifts to us.
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Let us admit our brokenness towards God. God of all creation, you love us into being, yet we often flee our rightful place in your creation. We confess that we exploit the gifts you place around us and dominate the riches of the natural order. Forgive our greedy grasping. We confess our part in the devastation of our planet home, mirrored in the violence of cities and the brokenness of our hearts. Forgive and restore us, O God. Nurturing God, remind us of other ways to live and of the place called home, where creation reflects your goodness and each thing lives in balance with all others. Come and find us and set us right again, and help us fill the earth with your loving presence. Be assured that God is making all things new throughout creation. Remember that nothing is lost beyond God's finding love. The God who knows us completely bestows pardon and peace.
If anyone has
Please join with me the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout. Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, no, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off and at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled the accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in the few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. The one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master replied, you wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and I gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have will be given, and they will have an abundance. But to those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man comes in glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom God prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. When I was naked, you gave me clothing. When I was sick, you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you, that when you were hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. And then he will say to those at his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For when I was hungry, you gave me no food, and I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And they will also answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, and the righteous into eternal life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. And if there are other youngsters who would care to come down and join us, you're welcome to come and sit down front. Today is St. Patrick's Day. And some of us have a custom of wearing green on St. Patrick's Day. And we all celebrate the fact that there was a man named Patrick who did some really pretty wonderful things in the name of God. I want to tell you a story about Patrick. Now, we tend to think of Patrick and we think of a country called Ireland. But he wasn't born there. He was born across the Irish Sea. He was born in England, in Britain. Hi, come on down and join us. He was born in Britain. Good, more and more. This is great. But there were some people who were looking for slaves, who were looking for people they could make work and not pay them. And they came over and they took Patrick and they took him to Ireland and they made him work for no pay whatsoever. He kept sheep. Well, he didn't know what he was going to do because he was far from home. He didn't know how to get home. These people had captured him and they were making him work and they weren't paying him anything. His life was pretty hard. Then one night he had a dream. And in the dream, someone appeared and said, "Arise and go, your ship is ready." What ship? He wasn't near the ocean. But he did. He trusted that dream. He started walking toward the sea, and sure enough, he came to a town, and there was a ship. And he got on the ship, and it took him back to England. Can't you just imagine? He said, "Whew, I'll never go to Ireland again." But he didn't. He studied to be a pastor, a priest. And then he went back to Ireland to the very people who had made him a slave to tell them about the love of God. Because you see, he knew how it felt to be among the least, among the slaves, the people who were ignored and pushed aside. And he wanted to help teach the Irish a better way, the way they should treat the least of these, because they too are Jesus' brothers and sisters and our brothers and sisters. Now, in the story I'm about to tell up here, I'm going to be talking about the least of these, Jesus' brothers and sisters. When I talk about that, just imagine Patrick, far from home, all alone, made to work, and yet still, when he got the chance, he went back to tell those very people about the love of God. Let's pray. We thank you, God, for your love. And for people like Patrick, who show us the way to show your love, even to those who aren't very nice to us, be with us and help us, because we can't do this without your help. Help us to pay attention to and to love those who are the least of these, like Patrick was. With your help, we know we can. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming down. Wow, what a long reading, huh? It's a good thing we had a gifted reader like Nancy to do it. Otherwise, you would have fallen asleep, and then you would have missed your nap during the sermon. See, everything works out well. Everything works out well. Not only is this a long reading, but these are three hard stories. I don't much like these stories, quite frankly. They convict me. In the first story, I always identify with those bridesmaids who didn't bring the oil. I'm a procrastinator. I'm the guy who wrote his papers at the last minute. I shouldn't be confessing this. Some of my professors are in this crowd. I'm the guy who puts it off and puts it off and puts it off. And I identify with those bridesmaids. And I think it's incredibly mean for those others not to share. And then in the second story, I identify with the guy who's scared. Have you ever been afraid to share one of your gifts for fear that you'll fail or that somebody will reject you for it? I sure have. I'm not the entrepreneurial type who rushes out there and takes risks. And like the first ones, I'm more like the guy who says, this boss is a tough boss. I'm going to give him back exactly what he gave me. You can see why I don't like these stories. They're tough. But they raise some important questions. The first story is about getting ready, being prepared, but ready for what? The second is about sharing your gifts, and if you share those gifts, you'll get more. If you take that risk, you'll get more. But sharing them for whose benefit? The third story tells us. I remember when I was a kid in class, one of the constant questions that was asked was, will this be on the final exam? Because we knew the only important stuff to study was what was going to be on the exam, right? And that what was on the final exam was what was the most important thing to the teacher. Now, it doesn't mean the other things weren't important. The teacher wanted us to learn all of them. But the things that were on the final exam were the ones the teacher wanted us to remember and to live out of. Well, folks, the third story is the final exam. When that apocalyptic figure, the Son of Man, Jesus doesn't say it's him, but we tend to associate this figure with Jesus, comes in his glory, he's going to divide the nations. The word is ethnoi. It means all the nations on the earth. Not just one group, everybody. Like a shepherd divides the sheep, and on one side, on the right will be the sheep, on the left will be the goats. And you heard it. He turns to the sheep and he says, welcome, come on in. Because when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you gave me clothes. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. When I was sick and in prison, you visited me. So everybody on the right side of the sanctuary, my right, that is, come on in, you know. But the problem is that they're so unselfconscious about what they've done, they say, no, wait a minute. We've never seen you before. When did we do this? Now, if Jesus had invited me to come on in, I don't think I would have raised any questions. I would have just said, hey, thanks, I'm there. But they don't. They say, when did we see you that way? I don't think we've ever seen you before. And Jesus says, when you've done it for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you've done it for me. They weren't even thinking about that. And then come the goats. Sorry, those of you who are on my left. And to them, he says, you're out of here. You don't want to know where you're going, because when I was hungry, you didn't give me food. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. When I was naked, you didn't give me clothing. When I was a stranger, you didn't welcome me. When I was sick and in prison, you didn't visit me. And the interesting thing is, they ask the same question. Wait a minute. We don't remember ever seeing you. When did we do that? If we'd known it was you, we would have done it. If we'd known it was somebody important. He said, when you didn't do it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you didn't do it to me. It's a tough story. It's the final exam. Doesn't mean that the music we sing is not important. Doesn't mean that preaching isn't important. Doesn't mean that coming to worship isn't important. Doesn't mean that coming to class isn't important. But what it does mean is that all those things are less important than feeding the hungry, giving water to the thirsty, clothing the naked, welcoming the stranger, and visiting the sick and the imprisoned. That's what Jesus focuses on here. Now, throughout the centuries, we Christians have argued about how you baptize people, how you celebrate communion, what happens at communion, what your theological understanding of Jesus and who he was and what he did, you know, what is your doctrinal understanding of the Trinity. We have found hundreds of things to argue about, but I don't know of a single time that we have genuinely tried to outdo each other in feeding the hungry and clothing the naked, and you know the rest of it. We got all the other stuff right, but we failed the final exam. I had a friend. He and I were in chemistry in high school. He decided he would figure exactly what grade he had to make on the final exam to just pass the course. Now, I didn't do all that great, but I didn't have that kind of confidence. Because you see, what he decided to do was just answer those questions that would make up that grade and not answer the rest of them. Guess what? He missed one. He failed chemistry. Sometimes that's how we as the church do. How little can we do to get by? How little can we do to pass? But that's not what Jesus says. Not how little can we do. How much can we do? During Lent, we've been focusing on service. And you've heard of lots of opportunities. Folks have visited on Sunday morning, on Wednesday night. We've talked about homelessness. We've talked about food safety. We've talked about children. We've talked about immigration. Today, if you want to hear about our prison ministry, there are folks out here who can tell you about West End folks who are in prison. You know, Christians belong in prison. In this day and time when this was written, there were Christians in prison because of their faith. But there were also Christians in prison because they went to see the least of these. Why? Just because Jesus told them to. If you never thought you belonged in prison, go talk to these folks. Now, it's not easy. It's kind of scary when you have to wait for that door behind you to slam shut before the door in front of you will open. When you sit in a room full of people you know are there for murder, for burglary, for rape, all kinds of heinous crimes. The least of these. At least one portion of the least of these. So what about all this stuff that we do all the time? Why do we do it? Well, I think we do it. I think that the anthem is important, and music is important, and preaching is important, at least sometimes, and going to class, and being in groups to support each other, because you see, church is the study group for the final exam. That's why we get together on a regular basis to empower us to go out and do those things Jesus told us to do. If we didn't have these things, we would very likely never be led to think about the least of these. But if we only do these things, then we fail the final exam. These stories are hard, folks. I know what it's like to be the bridesmaid who didn't get the oil. I know what it's like to be the guy who was too afraid to share his gifts. I know what it's like to be the one who wants to turn away from the least of these. We're not going to do this perfectly. But that gives us something to aspire to be the kind of people Jesus described that he wanted in his reign, in his kingdom, among his disciples. And you know, I think if we keep doing these things that we're doing week after week, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, day after day, that we can encourage each other and support each other. And I bet we can all pass that final exam. Don't you? Another way we remind ourselves of what's important in our story is through the affirmations that we say together. I invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal. We will tell our story using the words of the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. We are grateful that God has called us together for worship on this day. If you're a guest, we invite you to join us for a time of fellowship right after this service. Out these doors to your right, you can talk to members of church staff and members of the congregation about ministries and worship services and activities, and we can get to know you. If this is your first visit, please stop by the Bread for the Journey table out there and pick up a small loaf of bread that's been home-baked in appreciation for you worshiping with us this morning. You'll look in the pew racks directly in front of you. There's a gray card. One side is for comments or questions for staff or lay leadership of the church. The other side is for prayer concerns or joys or comments. When the offering plate comes around in just a moment, we invite you to put those in there. There is an attendance pad that's on the end of each pew. If you have not yet passed those down the pew, I invite you to pass those now. And look at the names of those worshiping with you so you can get to know people in this community of faith and know each other as we come together around God's love to serve others. Also ask, if you are interested in membership, check that little box about interested in membership. And then between now and April 28th, I or someone will be in touch with you to answer any questions you might have. We will not be having new members today, even though it's printed in the bulletin. We've decided to hold off until the fourth Sunday in April, April 28th, in having a large group at that time and a large all-church lunch following the late service on April 28th. So make a mental note of that and look forward to that. So today, following the offering, we want to go directly into the recessional hymn, this offering doxology recessional hymn. We express our condolences to the McElroy family. Charlie, Arden, Amanda, and Amy are mourning the death of Charlie's mother, Jeannie Catherine McElroy, who died Monday, March 11th. Services were held yesterday at First United Methodist Church in Camden, Tennessee. We also are saddened and mourn the loss of Rebecca Wilkinson Mullins, Becky Mullins, who died Saturday, March 9th. Becky was a member here at West End for over 60 years. Her services will be held on Saturday, April 13th at 11 a.m. Let us now turn our hearts toward prayer. May the Lord be with you. Let us pray. We pray together as your people, loving God, that you would inspire us to use our gifts in service to others, empower us to care for one another, especially the poor and most vulnerable among us. Inspire us to be more aware of your loving presence in and around us so that we might better lift up all who are sick and suffering and work to set free those who are enslaved within the many realms of poverty, economic poverty, emotional poverty, relational poverty, and spiritual poverty. Use us to help heal all who are broken, and enable us to continue maturing in our own ability to love others so that they may become more aware of your love for them. Move in us and through us so that we may better affirm life whenever and wherever we are. We as a community now enter into a time of silence, asking for your loving spirit to fill us so that your love might overflow into the world. And now, as a community, let us stand with Christ by praying the words that Christ himself taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. A quick reminder is there will not be an all-church lunch today. That lunch will be taking place on April 28th. Just want to make sure that I was clear with that. As God's love fills us, let us now respond by sharing our financial gifts so the love of God may reach out from this community into the world.
Before I send you forth, I have a celebration to share in line with our theme of service and in line with our scripture today. Our own youth, Caroline Hoffman, is a finalist for a Mary Catherine Strobel Award for service. If you don't know about Mary Catherine Strobel, Google her. Find out about her. Amazing person. Now, we as followers of Jesus don't do this to receive awards, but it's always nice when someone acknowledges that work in the world. So we celebrate with Caroline and her entire family. And now go forth to serve the least of these in all that you do. And God, whose love is over all the earth and all people, Jesus Christ, who showed us how to serve the least of these, and the Holy Spirit that empowers us to follow in Jesus' example, go with you this day, this week, and forevermore. Go in peace.